It was 3 in the morning, and the telephone rang again. Not that the hour mattered. Al Dewey was wide awake anyway, and so were Marie and their sons, 9-year-old Paul and 12-year-old Alvin Adams Dewey Jr. For who could sleep in a house, a modest one-story house, where all night the telephone had been sounding every few minutes? As he got out of bed, Dewey promised his wife, "This time I'll leave it off the hook." But it was not a promise he dared keep. True, many of the calls came from news-hunting journalists, or would-be humorists, or theorists. "Al, listen, fella, I've got this deal figured. It's suicide and murder. I happen to know Herb was in a bad way financially. He was spread pretty thin. So what does he do? He takes out this big insurance policy, shoots Bonnie and the kids, and kills himself with a bomb. A hand grenade stuffed with buckshot. Or anonymous persons with poison pen minds. Know them L's? Foreigners? Don't work? Give parties? Serve cocktails? Where's the money come from? Wouldn't surprise me a darn if they ain't at the roots of this clutter trouble. Or nervous ladies alarmed by the gossip going around, rumors that knew neither ceiling nor cellar. Alvin, now, I've known you since you were a boy, and I want you to tell me straight out whether it's so. I loved and respected Mr. Clutter, and I refuse to believe that that man, that Christian, I refuse to believe he was chasing after women." But most of those who telephoned were responsible citizens wanting to be helpful. "I wonder if you've interviewed Nancy's friend, Sue Kidwell. I was talking to the child, and she said something that struck me. She said the last time she ever spoke to Nancy, Nancy told her Mr. Clutter was in a real bad mood. Had been the past 3 weeks. That she thought he was very worried about something, so worried he'd taken to smoking cigarettes." Either that or the callers were people officially concerned. Law officers and sheriffs from other parts of the state. "This may be something, may not, but a bartender here says he overheard two fellas discussing the case in terms made it sound like they had a lot to do with it." And while none of these conversations had as yet done more than make extra work for the investigators, it was always possible that the next one might be, as Dewey put it, the break that brings down the curtain. On answering the present call, Dewey immediately heard, "I want to confess." He said, "To whom am I speaking, please?" The caller, a man, repeated his original assertion and added, "I did it. I killed them all." "Yes," said Dewey. "Now if I could have your name and address." "Oh, no, you don't," said the man, his voice thick with inebriated indignation. "I'm not going to tell you anything. Not till I get the reward. You send the reward, then I'll tell you who I am. That's final."